Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A 22-pound rock that has been propping open a door in Michigan for decades turns out to be a meteorite valued at $100,000.
No, son of a bitch!
According to Central Michigan University, Mona Sirbescu, a CMU geology professor, gets asked all the time by people to examine the rocks they bring her, but none have ever turned out to be an official space rock.
That's why everyone in the office has been dying of radiation poisoning.
But it all changed when she was asked to examine an oddly shaped large rock that a Michigan man who didn't want to be named had in his possession for the last 30 years. She said, "I could tell right away it was something special."
That's amazing.
After testing, she determined that it was a meteorite made of 88.5% iron and 11.5% nickel. And this isn't just any space rock. Weighing 22 pounds, it is the sixth largest recorded find in Michigan and potentially worth around $100,000. She said, "It is the most valuable specimen I've ever held in my life, monetarily and scientifically.
And sexually."
For double verification, a slice of it was sent to the Smithsonian Institution, which validated that it was, in fact, a meteorite, according to the press release. The rock arrived on Earth sometime in the 1930s, according to its owner, who obtained it in 1988 when he bought a farm.
Is what you're telling me, my rubber doorstop at home could be worth $100,000.
Yeah, go ask an expert about that.
Okay.
While touring the property, the man spotted the rock propping open a door and asked the farmer what it was. The farmer told him that it was a meteorite, that it was part of the property, and that he could have it.
Wow.
The farmer said that it had come down on the property in the 1930s, and it made a heck of a noise when it hit, he said.
This guy never saw the blob.
In the morning, the farmer and his father found the crater. They dug out the still-warm meteorite.
Look in there!
The new owner lived on the farm a few years, and when he moved, he took the mystery rock with him. For the past 30 years, he's used it as a doorstop, and he sent it off to school with his children for show and tell.
So he never had any indication. I mean,
no, he knew he'd heard it was a meteorite. So yeah. But he was inspired by stories of residents finding and selling pieces of meteorites.
Wow.
And he said, "I wonder how much mine is worth." And so now the space rock, which is dubbed the Edmore meteorite, is waiting to find a permanent home. They said what happens typically with these at this point is that meteorites can either be sold and shown in a museum or sold to collectors and seekers looking to make a profit.
Hey, Gladys, we can buy a toilet now.
The Smithsonian and a mineral museum in Maine are considering purchasing the meteorite for display. So the guy has potential buyers.
That is sensational.
Isn't that great? Not so great. A zookeeper has died of a white tiger after it mauled him at a zoological park in the city of Kagoshima. Akira Fushuro was found collapsed and bleeding from the neck in a cage by colleagues after the park had closed for the day. He was confirmed dead after being taken to the hospital. A veterinarian at the zoo used a tranquilizer gun to sedate the 5-year-old male tiger Raikou, which was found in the same area as Ferruccio.
Did the guy get a little too comfortable doing his chores or whatever?
I don't know. The
they're still wild animals.
The zoo was scheduled to remove the tiger from display to his sleeping chamber at the time. Its manual forbids a keeper from entering the display cage before a tiger has been moved into its sleeping chamber. So maybe the guy was where he wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Police are investigating how the park looks after the 4 white tigers it keeps, while labor authorities interviewed some zoo workers to see if the zoo had possibly violated a law on safety at work.
Same thing happened in Jurassic World, Preston.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Hey, going viral online isn't always a good thing. A bus driver in India has been suspended after a video surfaced of him letting a monkey sit on his lap and drive the vehicle.
And there's a problem with that?
The video shows the man holding onto the wheel of the bus with one hand while the langur monkey perches on the wheel and steers on a road.
How am I doing?
In Bangalore.
I'm just a monkey, so I'm not quite adroit.
Officials say that the monkey was the pet of one of the bus passengers, but the driver has been suspended as officials investigate
this. I like it when the bus driver lets the passenger's pets drive the vehicle.
You know, why not?
Anybody have a cat?
The world's scariest haunted house experience puts its guests through a psychological nightmare, shaving their heads and even allegedly waterboarding them. McCamey Manor is run by Russ McCamey in San Diego, California, where a few participants every day are bound, slapped, and even compelled to eat their own vomit.
Yes.
There are around 24,000 people on the waiting list for the experience, which can last up to 8 hours. Guests are made to sign a waiver before they take part, and McCamey insists on doing background checks to ensure those taking part do not have any serious medical conditions.
And you know what, Preston? They have really awesome kettle corn.
Despite this, a guest suffered a heart attack during the experience in 2008.
Where is this?
It's in San Diego.
Kathy, the whole purpose of this thing is to, you're basically paying to literally be terrified beyond all reason.
No thanks.
Special effects, animatronics, actors, and live animals such as tarantulas, spiders, and rats are used to send guests away shivering and crying. McCamey films each volunteer to make a, quote, mini movie of each ordeal, which are then posted on his YouTube channel, which has nearly 39 million views.
Preston, it's very similar to that big wedding dress sale they do every year.
Oh, that's... though he says he's invested more than $500,000 into the event, McCamey doesn't ask his guests for any money, just a dog food donation for Operation Greyhound, because he's an animal lover.
Well, there you go.
He said it's really like watching somebody live their own horror movie right there, 6 inches in front of their face.
I saw a documentary on this guy in this setup. It's just unbelievable.
While no one has ever lasted the full 8 hours, McCamey says that in 2014, the record holder, known as Sarah P., lasted 6 hours inside the house before giving up. Some of its most extreme moments occur on a morgue table, including the use of a live tarantula. McCamey said, you want to see true fear? You put live spiders crawling on somebody's face, and the tears are just flowing down their eyes in silence. It's like you're watching a silent movie, he said. The Fright fan says that he does it for, quote, the love of the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
And he simply wanted to put on the biggest, craziest show anyone's ever seen.
And he cares about greyhounds.
In 2016, Amy Milligan from San Diego claimed that she had been waterboarded at the haunted house, an allegation that McCamey strongly denied. She told the San Diego Union Tribune that her head was repeatedly pushed underwater while her hands were tied. Milligan claimed that actors pushed her under the water again and again, despite her begging for the experience to stop. She said, you give them so much trust and they just break it by waterboarding you and slapping you.
Good Lord.
You go to the sadistic, legendary, over-the-top haunted house and you do not expect to be treated this way.
Well, you know what? I mean, I would assume it's like a bondage thing. You've got to have some kind of a safe word,
yes.
Right?
So mistake would be mine.
Yeah, right?
And well, sorry.
That's what I have in the bizarre file.
There's one around here. I forget where it was, but it might have been Pennhurst, and we were waiting in line. And, you know, some of them were like, the actors aren't going to touch you. You know, and there they were like, if you don't want to be touched, then don't come in. Like,
there you go.
Like they're going to, part of the scare tactic. Yeah.
Yeah. Some places are should be set up for that, I think, for the more. You can have,
most will offer options of mm-hmm. either or.
Yeah. At Adorney, you can wear, there's a little necklace that lights up.
Yes.
That you can wear if for kids or somebody who doesn't like to be startled like that, and they'll leave you alone.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
A man smashed 8 dome lamps on an escalator at the Taganskaya station in Moscow Metro, and being of a state of alcoholic intoxication, the man thought that the dome lamps were penguins.
He thought they were illuminated penguins?
Yeah, and that's why he was smashing them for some reason. A police officer arrested the man and sent him for interrogation.
You don't understand, they're penguins.
He admitted his guilt, said that he did not remember the motive for his actions, and agreed to pay the fine. He said that he was ashamed of his actions.
I'm very ashamed.
The man said that he had drunk a bottle of liquor and 5 liters of beer before taking a ride to the metro.
Just average day. Full bottle of liquor and 5 beers, then off to work.
A criminal case was initiated against the man, and it cost him 40,000 rubles.
That's $6.
Yeah, it did. South Korean police said Tuesday that a paper lantern caused an explosion and massive fire at an oil storage site on the outskirts of Seoul on Sunday.
A paper lantern.
Yeah, my wife hates these things. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they look wonderful, but I'm always incredibly leery of them.
Well, the conditions have to be absolutely perfect for those things to work. If there is the slightest breeze at all, you can't get it lit.
You cannot put them anywhere near your piles of dynamite.
No, you can't.
We almost burnt down a house we rented.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Landed on the wood deck.
I almost got into trouble last night because they blew out little tea candles before I was going up to bed. I'm like, I could have. My wife goes, I could have blown this. I'm like, I know. I just am worried.
I just didn't want to die overnight.
I don't want to die in a fire.
Police said in a briefing that a paper lantern crashed on the lawn of the oil tank on Sunday and caused an explosion and fire that lasted more than 17 hours, burning about 2.6 million liters of gasoline. The Dehan Oil Pipeline Corporation, operator of the oil storage, wasn't aware of the fire until for 18 minutes as there was not a fire detected outside the storage tank.
Attention employees, from now on, no paper lanterns.
Authorities found footage which showed a man flying a paper lantern and smoke and fire starting from the lantern after it fell in the oil storage site. An investigation discovered that a Sri Lankan man who was working at a nearby construction site flew the lantern during his break. It flew about 300 meters and dropped on the lawn of the oil storage site. The lantern earlier traveled from an elementary school nearby.
Goddamn Sri Lankans.
Used them at a camping event on Saturday. Police plan to seek an arrest warrant for the Sri Lankan man.
Don't you, whenever you see those, the Thousand Lights festivals or whatever, when they send those things airborne.
Yeah, they got to land somewhere.
What happens?
They're supposed to go up and then they burn out and then the hot air stops and they come down. You assume that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They usually do it like when there's water.
Right.
Nearby, yes. Like over a lake or ocean.
Right.
Not fields of gasoline.
Fields of gasoline. Right. Yeah.
All right.
Over this open methane hole.
See if you can figure this one out, okay? All right. This is in Kent, Washington. Police said a woman who was hit and killed by an SUV this weekend had laid down in the road during an argument with her husband, who she had hit in the head with a meat tenderizer.
Had hit? Oh, okay, with like a mallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The SUV driver was drunk at the time. And the guy driving the car was drunk, too. So,
oh, awesome.
He was arrested on suspicion of vehicular homicide. The woman's husband called 911 late Saturday night to report that she was hitting him. During the call, police learned about an auto-pedestrian collision in the area just as the man began crying and saying something about his wife. When police arrived, they found the woman dead on the side of the road after being run over by Ford Expedition.
She committed suicide?
No. They learned that she had been chasing her husband with the meat tenderizer, but stopped and laid down in the road before being hit.
I gotta go CP.
I don't know. Maybe she did. I don't know. Police said that they talked to the driver, who told them that he hadn't realized he had hit anybody, but stopped because he saw people waving at him in the mirror. Police thought the driver might be drunk. They gave him a blood test. He pointed a .21.
Wow.
Yikes.
Well above the legal of .08. The man told police that he had 3 beers and 3 shots at a friend's birthday party.
How many rubles did it cost
him? When they got to the station, the driver forgot that he had hit and killed someone despite being told so at the scene.
Did I actually hit someone and kill them?
That's just very, very strange. All right, and then we'll do one more story and we will wrap it up. All right, here's another winner.
Oh, boy.
4 New York teenagers say they're lucky to be alive after a driving instructor took them on a dangerous ride while he was allegedly intoxicated, eventually ending when he rear-ended another motor vehicle while the students called police at a McDonald's.
What a magical day.
The driving instructor, Russell Cohen, 58 years old, was arrested on charges of aggravated driving while intoxicated and endangering the welfare of a child. Cohen, a substitute instructor for the Suffolk Auto Driving School.
Suffolk, New York?
Yeah.
Of course.
Here's another one.
Yep.
Was given 4 teens a driving lesson on Long Island when he was allegedly drunk.
Okay, today we're going to depart a little bit from the syllabus.
Matt McKaig and Leela Mabanta, 2 16-year-olds who were in the vehicle with Cohen, said that the instructor began acting strangely shortly after the lesson began.
Because I'm drunk.
Mabanta recalled Cohen making inappropriate comments to her and another female caused them to feel really uncomfortable.
Oof.
Magoa had said, "I'm happy I'm alive," after ending the whole thing, after it went over, because Cohen had told them that they had wanted them to drive him to a diner. So Cohen and the 3 teens stopped at the diner where the 58-year-old said he would buy food for them. He returned to the car, however, and he didn't have any food. He then demanded Magoa get out of the driver's seat so he could take the wheel. So this guy's drunk. His alleged erratic behavior continued. He hit a curb while driving 50 miles per hour before the students convinced him to drive to a McDonald's. The teens got out. They went into the McDonald's where the manager called the police. They said, "We jumped out as soon as we possibly could." Police arrived. Before they could get there, though, Cohen drove off without the teens, and they didn't get him till about midnight. It was after he it was 11:45 a.m. after he rear-ended another vehicle. So this was their driving instructor.
I would suggest a refund.
Yeah, maybe so.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.